Hello, good evening. Welcome to View from the Stand, podcast for Australian football. We will be looking at the A-Leagues, both the men and the women's competitions, international teams, again, both the men's and women's competitions, National Premier Leagues, and the FFA Cup. So a lot to get through this week. And to join me is a man who has his finger on the pulse on football in the South East Queensland, Michael Howe. Good evening, Michael.
Good evening, Steve.
We finally did it. We got connected up.
We did. Yeah, you got a lot of technology, haven't you?
Yeah, a little bit of technical issues this evening, but we managed to hook up so we could record the show tonight. How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been a very good week, actually. Very busy.
That's good. Been watching lots of football?
I have been.
That's the way. Yeah, I've had a busy week. Lots of football to watch this week. Lots of internationals and A-Leagues. And, of course, had to just fit a bit of work in there as well.
Yes. Shouldn't be allowed.
No. So what was the highlight of your week, Mike? Football-wise?
Football-wise? Work-wise. Brisbane Roar winning very convincingly over the Western Sydney Wanderers.
And that was great when you played
really
well.
Yeah, the boys just clicked, and from the get-go, they were just all over them. I've never seen Western Sydney Wanderers just a former shadow of itself. They were very poor.
Yeah, it certainly was. And did you? Anyway, let's get into it. Let's have a look at the Matildas game first up. Did you get to see the quarterfinal match, Mike?
Yes, I did. Unfortunately,
what did you think? What was your impressions of the match?
I don't think the girls played as good as they could have. I thought the first 25-30 minutes they were all over South Korea.
They were. That's when they had a few shots on goal, and that's the finishing just wasn't there.
No. I mean,
you've got to take your opportunities when they arise.
Exactly. And I think Andy Harper said it quite well too. It seems that our entire forward run to the goal is through Sam Kerr.
Right.
And she was just marked out of the game. And yeah. I mean, I applaud the chances she had and got away, but she was just so well marked.
She was. I thought Australia probably had more of the ball. Korea were quite happy to sit back, and they had their moments where they did attack the Matildas' goal. But I thought overall Australia probably had more of the ball and Korea just sat back and let them have it.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. It was almost like they were sitting back and just waiting for the counter-attack.
That's right. They had a few good attacks. Australia had a good start. Kaya Simon, she put a good ball through to Sam Kerr in about the seventh minute, but she just hit the side netting or the stanchion or something like that. So we had a chance as early as the seventh minute, really.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And the girls knew they had to hit them early.
That's right. Also, there was some decisions didn't go Australia's way. There was a penalty shout for in the 17th minute for a penalty, which went unheeded. And then Sam Kerr, there was a corner that resulted from that situation, and Sam Kerr hit the woodwork.
Yes. That was heartbreaking to see that bounce away.
Yeah. But, as I said, I thought they had pretty much the run of the play. Korea were very good in defence.
Oh, extremely.
Very well organised.
Yeah. Their goalkeeper, she rallied the truth very well, defended very well against set plays, against corners. Very impressed with their back line.
Yeah, very good indeed. Korea didn't have an opportunity until 5 minutes into the second half. So that's pretty much how much of the ball and possession Australia had, but just couldn't do anything with it at the end of the day.
No, which is a shame. I mean, I thought Steph Catley played really, really well.
Yeah, she did.
She just dominated that midfield. She was just brilliant.
Yeah. think it was there was a good combination at the start of the game. It was between Ellie Carpenter, might have been Catley, and Sam Kerr. So it's like the three of them working really well together in, at the start in the first like 12, 15 minutes of the game. And those combinations were working really well for Australia.
Mm. I don't seem to know what happened after that. It just seemed to fizzle out.
Yeah.
Well, I was quite excited when Courtney Vine came on. She had some fantastic runs down that right-hand side.
Yeah, she made a bit of a difference to the
extremely. The girls just seemed to pick up when she came on, knowing what the caliber of that player is and what she could do. It was just amazing.
That's right. She might have been a bit unknown to the Koreans as well. She did a customary runs down the flank and managed to get the ball in on several occasions.
Yep. A little bit more experience under her belt, and she'll be an amazing player for the future.
Sure will. I guess the overseas clubs will be looking. There was a controversial moment when Korea won a penalty. What did you think of that?
If you go by the laws of the game, yes, it was a penalty.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It looked like she hadn't got the ball. She'd actually trod on her foot.
Correct. She actually put in there to tread on her foot, and she blocked the play. Yeah. There was no contact with the ball whatsoever. It was soft, I admit, but by the laws of the game, it was a penalty.
That's correct, because they were pretty disappointed on the commentary team. Didn't think that it should have been a penalty.
No, they made that known a number of times. Yeah.
They did. when I saw it, I saw the thing. You could see she hadn't, well, from what I could see, she hadn't touched the ball.
No, you're right.
And was definitely trod on a foot.
Yep. Which impeded any further play for the Korean player.
That's right. Anyway, it didn't matter at the end of the day because the girl put the ball over the top of the net.
That was a shocking penalty.
It was a terrible penalty. Oh. But and it was a really late goal as well, wasn't it? It was a good goal. It came from there was a good little triangular move from the Koreans up in the on the left hand side of the field, and it went through to Sun, I think her name is. Let me have a look here. Jai So Yun, I think she plays for Tottenham.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, it's the Tottenham girl. And I think it was Mary Fowler. Mary Fowler lost her, and just outside the penalty area, and she put in a thunderbolt of a shot, which Lydia Williams had no chance of.
If you're one of those people who just like the game of football, it was a beautiful goal to witness. It really was.
So leading up to that, Lydia Williams, she did a couple of great saves as well.
Yeah, beautiful body block for one.
Yeah, yeah.
And she pushed away to the left-hand side with the other. So it was very impressive. Yeah.
So, you know, if it wasn't for those couple of saves, they might have scored a little bit earlier. But the girls did well to get where they did. It was a tough game. And they probably would have learned some stuff, I'd imagine, from that's a game of that caliber.
Yeah, I think so too. I do hope, as a lot of the players did mention, I do hope they take some lessons out of the game and sit back and just look at it harsh and go, what did we do wrong?
Yeah. I think pretty much it was just the finishing, wasn't it, really?
It was. I mean, what annoyed me today was some of the headlines that Sam Kerr blew it and she missed a goal. But when you see the play, there's nothing Sammy could do.
No.
You know, so I was a bit disappointed with the headlines coming out of Australia.
I don't look at the headlines.
Oh, it's just... Yeah, some of my news feed, and I was really, really annoyed. I thought, you know, you obviously never played the game in your life.
No, that's right. Anyway, so that was that's the end of Australia's participation in the Asian Cup. They will now have a short break before they turn their attention to next year's World Cup, which will be played between over here and New Zealand. So that's exciting, isn't it, Mike?
Oh, looking forward to that. Very much.
Imagine Brisbane will have some good games up there for you to go and look at.
Yeah, I've seen the schedule of games being allocated, but of course the full teams haven't been allocated.
No.
And I think in one of those games we do have Australia playing up here, so that'll be fantastic.
Yeah.
I think most of the capitals get an Australia game, which is brilliant.
spreading them around, so that's good news.
Yeah. But I can't wait. I'd buy a ticket now if I could.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, not out yet. I think the, I don't know, I suppose FIFA look after all that side of things.
They would, and I suppose once all the teams are qualified, then they'll look at...
Yeah, that's right.
Probably ticketing packages and so forth then.
That was an important game for Korea too, because they needed to win to qualify for the World Cup.
Correct. So they knew what they had to do.
Yeah. Anyway, the Australian lineup was Lydia Williams in goal, Claire Polkinghorne, Claire Wheeler. She was replaced by Courtney Vine, as we mentioned, in the 56th minute, who was replaced by Hayley Rasso in the 91st. I think she had a bit of an injury towards the end there.
Yeah, I think she copped a ball in the nose.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, which wasn't really good for her.
Yeah. Steph Catley, Caitlin Ford, she was replaced by Emily Gielnick in the 90th minute. Emily Van Egmen, I thought she had a great game.
Yeah, she played really well.
Mary Fowler, she had not a bad game. She had one or two chances.
Yeah, she kind of lost her way there towards in the second half as well, a little bit.
And she was the girl, Yoon, that scored the goal. Fowler lost her.
Yes.
And that gave her the opportunity to get the shot off, which was a shame.
Yeah. Well, that young lass went past two of our players.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that's right.
I was thinking, Mary, just foul her and take the yellow card.
That's right. Take one for the team.
Yeah, exactly.
Kaya Simon, Sam Kerr, and Ellie Carpenter. Subs not used were Courtney Nevin, Evie Lewitch, Charlotte Grant, Tegan Meeker, reserve keeper, Mackenzie Arnold, also a goalkeeper, Kyra Cooney Cross, and Remy Siemensen. So that was that. Earlier on in the week, Mike, they played their last group game and won that by two goals to one.
Yes, against Thailand.
Emily Van Egmen scored in the 39th minute, Sam Kerr in the 80th, and Puni Yusuk scored in the 93rd minute for Thailand, which was a bit disappointing, giving a goal away so late in the match.
Yeah, I know the girls were very, very disappointed with themselves.
Yeah.
For conceding that one.
But that was a tough game as well. The Thailand girls defended really well. They set themselves up nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really hard for Australia to break them down.
Certainly was. But it was good. The girls got there in the end.
They did. Got on to play Korea, but it didn't work out the way we wanted. But that's football, isn't it?
It is football. It's a very heartbreaking sport to watch.
Just wasn't their day.
No. Not to worry.
No, not to worry. We got the World Cup to look forward to next
year. That's it. Onwards and upwards. And we've got to now look at maybe new players coming through, blooding some youngsters.
Yep.
Maybe I think we really need to have a support strike up there with. Yeah. And Sam Kerr won't be going on forever. I mean, like all of us, aging. So we need to blood someone quickly.
Indeed, we do. Okay, that was that one. Then we also had the Socceroos in action, Mike.
Yes.
They played. Did they play? They played Vietnam. There's been so many games, I can't remember who's done what.
Yeah, they played Vietnam.
That's right. And they won by 4-0.
Yep.
That was down in Melbourne, in front of about 28,000 people. So that was a good turnout.
Yeah, it was a good turnout. I mean, Vietnam obviously not one of those countries that draw a lot of outside support, but they had a very good fan base in there, which was great.
Yeah, there's a lot of Vietnamese support there.
Yeah, brilliant. I applaud the way they turned out. It was fantastic.
Yeah. It took Australia about half an hour to get into the game, and Jamie McLaren, he scored a goal in the 30th minute. So that sort of set Australia on the way, didn't it?
It did, yeah. Settled them down a bit too.
Settled the nerves. And...
Yep. Yeah. I wasn't overly impressed with Australia's play. We seemed to get to that final third, and we all seemed to go, now what?
Right. Got a bit lost.
We got a bit lost, and I think even Andy Harper and Simon Hill touched on that as well.
Right, okay,
And we sort of get there and go, okay, what do we do now?
Yeah. Tommy Bodic, he scored in the second minute of injury time in the first half. That sent Australia into the dressing room with a 2-0 lead. So I guess that would have been happy for Muhlenstein, was it? Remy Muhlenstein, is that his name?
Yeah, reserve, yeah, because Mr. Arnold's still crook.
Because Arnie was still in the hospital. Is it? I don't know if he's gone to Oman, has he?
There was talk, but if he was out with COVID on that particular night, they were flying out that night or the following day.
Yeah.
So it depends on how sick Arnie is. I hope he's, for all our sakes, I hope he's well.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
I haven't heard.
Hopefully he made it to the onto the flight.
Yes. Put him in the cargo hold. Put him in...
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, keep away from everybody else.
That's right. And then in the second half, I'll just get rid of that thing. And then it was a couple of late goals. Vietnam were probably tiring by then. They'd done a lot of defending, a lot of running around.
Sure did.
And Craig Goodwin, he got his first goal in the 72nd minute. And what a moment that was for him.
Oh, what a player. What a player. He was very emotional, much earlier.
Very emotional after he scored that goal.
Yeah, good luck to him too.
And Riley McGree, he finished the scoring in the 76th minute with his first goal for Australia as well. So it was good to see.
Yeah, very good to see a couple of boys there getting their names on the sheet.
Yep. As we'd mentioned on the show previously, I think it's going to be a tough ask for Australia, just quietly, to get through to finish in the top two. They need to beat, well, they pretty much need to win every game now. They play Oman, I think, Wednesday morning, our time.
I think you might be right there.
Over in Oman. Then they've got Japan in Sydney, late March. And that's going to be a real pivotal game in Australia's qualification campaign.
Yeah, I don't know how the boys will go.
I think then they play Saudi Arabia as well, so they pretty much need to win every game.
I think
we'll probably finish third and have to play the third team from the other group, which is, I think, United Arab Emirates at the moment.
Yes, you're right. They're sitting on third place. So I don't think they'll get out of third place because Lebanon's sitting 4 points below and won 5 points. So
there's a bit of a gap, too, between United Arab Emirates and the top two in that group as well.
Yeah, Iran and South Korea have certainly taken the group by storm.
Yeah, so they've definitely qualified.
Mm.
And in our group, it could be any one of the three, but I'm probably thinking... Saudi Arabia and Japan will probably qualify straight through. I think Australia will probably finish third unless they win all their games. Then we'll have to play probably the United Arab Emirates. And then the fifth place team in South America. So we have to go through all that again.
Oh, it was heartbreaking to do it once. Well, do it again.
And it's only a one-legged affair too, I believe.
Yeah, so I'm not too sure where that particular game's being played.
So I don't know whether it'll be on neutral territory. I assume it would be neutral territory.
I would like it to be. Make it fair for both teams.
Yeah. As it'd be a bit annoying if they just played over there in South America and Chile or somewhere like that. And,
yeah. You know, and
so it's going to be a tough couple of months for the Socceroos. But if they want to qualify automatically, then they just have to do the job and get out there and beat these teams.
That's it. I think our chances against Oman are pretty good.
Yeah. I fancy us to beat Oman.
Yeah, I do fancy us against Oman, but as you said earlier, it's the Saudi Arabia-Japan game.
They're the dodgy ones. Japan are very good.
Japan have always been very good.
Generally qualify for the World Cup most times round.
Yeah, they've always been good in Asia as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right, the AFC goes. So.
Yeah. But, you know, this is the path that Australia wanted to take, and it's great for the game because it means we're playing against better and more skillful teams rather than not putting the little Pacific nations down, but they know Japan or South Korea or Saudi Arabia.
That's right. I mean, going back many years ago, as you said, we were playing the likes of New Zealand, and no disrespect to New Zealand, but the likes of American Samoa and
Yeah, that's right.
In those sort of countries, which really
lumping people that didn't want them. Like I remember, we played Israel a few times, and they were cracking games.
Yes, we certainly have played our fair share, haven't we?
We have.
Israel and Scotland, Uruguay.
Yeah, that's right. Uruguay, we've played them all.
Oh. Not to worry.
Anyway, I think we'll leave the international scene there, Mike. I think we've pretty much covered that. Well done to the Matildas to get as far as they did. Well done to the Socceroos to beat Vietnam 4-0. Fingers crossed that they can do the business over in Oman on Wednesday morning.
Most certainly.
Okay, let's have a look at the A-League. And last Tuesday was the big blue between Melbourne Victory and Sydney FC. Did you catch this game, Mike?
No, I didn't, unfortunately.
Well, it was a good game. Great game indeed. That ended up 2-2. Ben Fulami, he scored in the 17th minute before Ninkovic scored in the 37th for Sydney FC to bring them back on level terms. That was it for the first half. Then we had a couple of late goals. Robbie Cruz, player you know well from up your way.
Yeah, ex-Brisbane Roar boy.
Yeah, he scored in the 77th minute. Then Bobo, he popped up in the 81st. To snatch the draw for Sydney FC. But Popovic wasn't very happy with the referee, and he thought there should have been a foul before the corner that led up to Bobo scoring in the 81st minute. So he wasn't happy with that.
So what was the foul about? Was it did it seem blatant? Was it just a mistake?
No. Well, obviously, VAR would have looked at it, I would imagine. And they didn't think much of it, so
there you go. End of story.
End of story there.
Yep.
It was a cracking game. Sydney FC down there in the big blue managing to get a point.
And you look at those two sides on paper, and you would have bet your house on Melbourne Victory winning that.
For sure at the moment, yeah.
Yeah. No, congratulations to the boys. Good game.
No, for sure, yeah. Australia Day, MacArthur FC were due to play Perth Glory, but that match was postponed due to COVID-related issues, which was a shame because all the kiddies were looking forward to see half of the ball.
That's right.
So they've missed out their opportunity to see him. And we still don't know whether it's a one-man operation or the pantomime two-man at the front man at the back job yet. I haven't been able to find out.
No, I think we might investigate that one.
Yeah. And I have to find out who would be at the front and who would be at the back.
if it's a two-man show, I hope they're very good friends.
Yes, that's right. I think I'd probably want to put my hand up for the front of the ball.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah. Anyway, so no after the ball. He was put on ice for another day. Then what do we have? Then Friday, Perth Glory was supposed to play MacArthur again. This was supposed to be over in Perth, but that match was postponed. So a couple of postponed games there. Saturday, Wellington Phoenix were due to play Melbourne Victory, but guess what?
It was postponed.
Yeah, you're right. How did you know that?
Bit of intuition there.
Just a stab in the dark.
Just a stab in the dark, yeah.
But we did get a couple of games in on Saturday. Western United down in Melbourne there played in their derby against Melbourne City and won that one by 1-0 in a very, very tight contest.
Yeah, it's another result you wouldn't have picked.
No. Although, in saying that, Western United have been playing quite well. They've had a couple of bad weeks. But, 1-0 win against Melbourne City. That was a very good win indeed.
Not wrong.
Stephen Lustiger scored there in the 71st minute. And it was Nikolai Topper-Stanley's 350th game.
Isn't that a fantastic effort?
He's a legend, isn't he?
He's a great player too. I've seen him play many, many times for Newcastle.
Yeah, Newcastle.
Solid. Solid.
Yeah, I enjoyed watching him, his work at Sydney FC when he was there.
Yep. Brilliant player.
He also played with Western Sydney Wanderers. Now he's at Western United. So
he deserves all the credit.
There's 4,740 at that match down there at Amy Park. Good win there for Western United. Now, the game that I guess you watched this on TV, Mike, was the match between as we touched on earlier, between Brisbane Roar and Western Sydney Wanderers.
Yes, what a great game that was.
At the Morton Daly Stadium.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, so just as I said, from the start, from the kickoff, Brisbane Roar were just all over them, and Western Sydney just did not know how to even get back in the game. And considering the amount of quality in that squad, it surprised me.
Yeah, for sure. And it cost Carl Robinson his job.
Yes.
He was relieved of duty on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, it didn't take him long.
No. Well, we did discuss that last week and we said, you know, it's probably going to be on the cards.
That's exactly right. Yeah. His replacement's quite interesting.
Sorry?
His replacement's quite interesting.
Yes, I saw that this afternoon. Mark Rudan.
Mark Rudan for the balance of the season?
Yeah. It's just for the rest of the season, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, to see the season out there. It depends, I suppose, how he goes. He may then qualify himself for a permanent position.
Yeah. So that's it. Carl Robinson, he's going. So I don't know whether he'll stay in Australia or head back to the UK. I don't know. He might look for another job here. Yeah, might want to go to Newcastle.
Yeah, let's hope not.
What was that trouble with his name?
Milicinic.
Milicinic. He's a great player, isn't he?
He certainly is. What a talent.
They were slow getting the goals earlier on in the season, but certainly putting a few away now.
Yeah, I think they're now just starting to gel as a team.
Yeah, they seem to be.
Yeah, and Warren Moon seems to have him very well drilled as well.
Yeah.
So they're doing well.
He scored in the 27th and the 65th minutes, and Akbari, he scored in the 74th minute for the Roar. So well done to them.
Yeah, Akbari, that was his first goal.
Yeah, that's great.
That was great for him.
Put them up the table a couple of notches from the bottom.
Yes, it's funny how one win can propel you so far up the table.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think Wanderers are bottom of the table at the moment. We'll catch up with all that in a minute. Sunday, the game I went to, Sydney FC defeated Central Coast Mariners 3-2. This was a cracking game. Sydney came from behind. They took the lead in the 47th minute with a Anthony Cesaris penalty. And what am I talking about? Urena, he scored in the 15th minute. So I went to the game and I can't even remember. No, he didn't. Oh, I'm all over the shop this evening, Mike.
Yeah, that's all right. One of those days, mate.
Yeah, one of those days. Anyway, Anthony Cesaris, he scored the first goal in the 47th minute. I was looking at a yellow card. Urena got a yellow card in the 15th minute.
Ah.
I should have realised it wasn't a little football. There was a yellow card there. So that's a 20 goal and a yellow card. So he scored in the 47th minute. Then Oliver Bozanic, he scored in the 53rd minute. And some poor defending from Sydney FC. They left Oliver Bozanic free just outside the penalty area.
Oh, dear, I did.
Yeah, I know. And he did a cracking shot, which Thomas Hewitt Bell was never going to get.
Yeah.
Then a few minutes later in the 57th minute, they did the same again. They had some poor defending, and Cummins, he scored their second goal. So they went into half-time with a 2-1 lead. Second half, Sydney FC scored two late goals, one for Bobo in the 71st minute to put both teams on level terms. Then Cesaris got his second in the 79th minute to wrap up the points for Sydney FC. Thought Sydney played really well. Mustafa Amin, he had a great game. It was his first start for the side. I thought he played really well. Had a couple of lot of people missing from the Sydney team. So, there's about three in the Socceroos side, and there's a couple missing with injuries and one thing and another. Got Lafondra, he's still missing. Barbarousis, he's not playing at the moment. They've got injuries. So there's a few big name players missing from the side, and they still managed to get that point.
I'm just looking at the squad.
Yeah. And
a couple of lads there I've never heard of before, but yeah, good on them.
Yeah. But I think next season we might see a bit of a different squad. I think a couple of Milos Ninkovic and Alfie and players like that might be coming towards the end of their careers, maybe. They're into their sort of mid to later 30s. So we might see a couple of those sort of experienced players retire, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're right, because we've just seen Bessar Berisha call it a day.
Yeah, I was going to mention that when Western United played.
Yeah, he's probably mid-30s as well. So
yeah, he was certainly brought a bit of life to the game, didn't he, Mike?
He was fantastic. I mean, he's just his prowess in front of goal was just phenomenal. And we were blessed to watch him play, and he played with the Brisbane Roar for a number of seasons.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. Absolutely.
Yeah. Maybe a
very sad day.
Maybe a couple of seasons too long for him.
Probably. There was there's people out there who want him to go down to the NPL.
Right.
They believe he's still got the quality to play and give something back to the NPL, but we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, I hope he does. Then finally, Mike. Sorry?
I said it'd be fantastic if he joins the NPL.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it'd be good, good experience to pass on. We hope we don't lose him to the game. He was a bit of a divisive character. Some people either loved him or hated him.
Very much so. we loved him.
You need those characters in the game.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
And it's just another game.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know if that says how many people were at Leichhardt Oval yesterday. It didn't look like too bad a crowd. Let me have a look, see if I can find out. Let's click on this thing here. 6,855. So that wasn't a bad crowd.
Not bad.
At Leichhardt Oval. Probably the last time we'll play there. The new stadium will be open next season. So
fantastic.
Yep. It's been a... You know, Cogra's been a great away home away from home for the last few years, but it's time to move back.
It is very much so. No place like home.
That's right. Newcastle Jets. They played Adelaide United last night. I don't know if you caught any of that game, Mike.
No. I was asleep yesterday.
Yeah. Newcastle went down 2-1. Two very late goals by Adelaide United, snatching the win there. Mikkel Tadsey, he scored in the 59. So I don't have a problem with his name. Mikkel Tadsey, I can say that. It's just the Milinusinich I have trouble with. Mikkel Tadsey, he scored in the 59th minute. And I think Newcastle tied towards the end of the game. Then two late goals from Adelaide United, one by, I'm going to have trouble with this one, Irang Kunda, I think his name is, in the 88th minute. And Ibuski, yeah, I think it's a Japanese fella, I think. He scored in the 91st minute to give Adelaide United the points there. So a very late win there for Adelaide. Anyway, let's look at the table. Melbourne Victory, top of the table on 15 points, but they've been joined by Western United, also on 15 points. But it's still pretty hard to pick anything at the moment because there's games being postponed left, right and centre.
Absolutely correct.
Adelaide United, Victory and Western United have both played 8 matches. Then we've got Adelaide United in third. They've played 10 and they're on 14 points. Melbourne City, they've played 9. They're on 13 points. Macarthur FC, they've only played 6 games. They're on 13 points. They're 5th. Sydney FC are 6th still on 13 points. They've played 10 games. Central Coast Mariners have played 7, so it's all over the shop. They're seventh. They've played 7 games for 9 points. Brisbane Roar, yes, they've moved up to 8th. As we said, they've played 8 matches. They've got 8 points. So it's all 8s there for Brisbane Roar. The 3 8s. Perth Glory, they're 9th. They've played 6 games for 7 points. Wellington Phoenix, they're 10th. They've played 7 games for 7 points. Western Sydney Wanderers are 11th on 6 points. They've played 7 games. And Newcastle Jets at the bottom played 6. And they've got 5 points. So that's the A-League men's competition from last weekend, Mike. Let's have a look at the ladies, see how they fared. Did you see any of the ladies' matches this week? Apart from the Matildas?
Ladies' games, yes.
Did you see any this week?
No, I didn't see the ladies' games this week.
I didn't see any? Well, Friday night,
nothing at all.
Western Sydney Wanderers, they were at, they played at Marconi Stadium.
Oh, okay.
So that was good to see the old Marconi Stadium there being used for a big game. But Western Sydney Wanderers ladies seem to have the same problem that the men do and went down 3-0 to Adelaide United. Sharple scored in the 5th minute, Dauber in the 55th, and the 87th minutes for the points there. As I said, that was at Marconi Stadium. I watched the game. Adelaide were very good value for their win. And there was 515 people there at Marconi Stadium for that one. In the other games on the weekend, if I click through my things here, Western Sydney, we said that. Brisbane Roar, they played Melbourne City. That was at the Morton Daly Stadium. Another game that I had a look at. And Brisbane played pretty well. There was 3 very late goals in that game. Gorrie scored for Brisbane with a 71st minute penalty. Then in the 79th minute, Polisina, she scored for Melbourne City. Then they got the winner in the 94th minute. So a heartbreaking 2-1 victory there for Melbourne City over Brisbane Roar. How are the Brisbane girls going, Mike?
It's a cold time if you can see.
What was that, mate?
So it's the kind of time of a game you concede.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, if you're looking at 1-1 and you get the clock's ticking down, just go into defence. Save the point.
That's right. What else have we got? We've gone on to the ladies thing there. Hang on a minute. That was happening there. Sometimes my little laptop plays up occasionally. Seem to have lost the ladies competition here. I think maybe if I click on that one. Keep clicking on the women's games and it keeps coming up with the men. That's just not fair.
No.
Let me have a look. Because there's still more couple of games to look at.
Yeah, 2 more games were played. Newcastle played Canberra.
Yep. How did that game go?
That finished 3-3.
Right. That was a good game.
So that was a very good game. Markison scored in the first minute for Newcastle.
Yep.
With Harding in the 51st and Franco in the 63rd. Canberra had Sykes in the 18th and 60th, and Toby in the 62nd. So quite a bit of flurry in the second half.
Yep. So where was that? Where was that played at, Mike?
That was played at Newcastle. That was played at Hunter Stadium.
Okay. Yeah. That would have been a good game to see.
In the end, the points were shared. But looking at the stats, it was a very, very close game.
Yep. Is that it for the girls' game? Obviously, they've lost them on my thingy.
Now, there's one more game where Perth Glory played Wellington. That was a 3-2 win for Perth Glory.
Okay, that was another good game. Some good games.
Yeah, considering, as we've discussed before, how the Wellington girls are.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
we've spoken. You're very proud of that.
Yeah, for sure. Have you got the goal scorers there, Mike?
Yeah, in Perth Glory, there was Sakalis in the 14th, Kinston in the 81st, and Jans in the 88th. So it was Jane on the 20th and Knott in the 39th.
Fantastic. That leaves Sydney FC top of the table on 22 points. I think they're all after with 8 matches played. Melbourne City are second on 18 after 8 matches. Adelaide United, they've played 8 and they've got 15 points. They're third. Perth Glory in fourth position after 8 matches played. They're on 14 points. Melbourne Victory, they've played 6 games and they're in fifth position on 12 points. The Jets, they're sixth after 6 games with 9 points. Brisbane Roar is seventh. They've played 8 games and they have 7 points. Wanderers are eighth. They've played 8 games and have 6 points. Canberra United, they're ninth. They've played 7 times and have 3 points. And Wellington Phoenix are still with that one solitary point at the bottom of the table. I have a lot of respect for the Wellington girls.
I certainly do as well.
Yeah. All righty. Let's see if we can find out what's happening this weekend in A-League action. Well, it always changes, doesn't it?
Certainly does.
Well, we're into February this weekend.
Yes.
No, still in January? Yeah, what is it now? Oh, yeah, 31st. That's the start of February, isn't it? Well, Tuesday night, Macarthur are due to play Western United at Campbelltown Stadium. I haven't heard that match is being called off. So maybe the kiddies will get to see after the ball.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, fingers crossed for that one, Mike.
Yes, definitely the ball. Need to see the ball.
Yeah. On Wednesday, the 2nd of February, at the Combank Stadium, Western Sydney Wanderers are playing Perth Glory, and the Wanderers will definitely want to try and get something on the board after the season they've had so far with the new coach, Mark Rudan, on board. They'll be wanting for a bit of a coach's bounce and pinch the points there. There seems to be games every night this week. Thursday night, Newcastle play Brisbane Roar up there in Newcastle. That kicks off a 7:45. And it was remiss of me to tell you that Western Sydney Wanderers and Perth Glory, that's also 7:45 on Wednesday, and 7:45 also on Tuesday the 1st of February. I don't, depends when people listen to this, I suppose, Mike.
That's very true.
So Thursday night, Newcastle versus Brisbane Roar, 7:45. I'll be able to give you live scores if you haven't, if you can't, not near a TV on my radio show, Mike. I forgot to tell you about that. I don't know if I forgot about that. Which you can catch.
Yeah, you told you that. Last Thursday, because I was unfortunately otherwise occupied.
Oh dear. But you can listen to Radio Blue Mountains on Thursday nights between 8 and 10, 89.1, or you can stream it at rbm.org.au. And I play talk about football again. It's mainly a lot of stuff in the Nepean Association. Well, not at the moment because there's not much on. But other than that, pretty much what we've covered tonight. I'll go through again on Thursday and I'll be able to keep everybody updated on that match between Newcastle and Brisbane Roar.
Fantastic.
Then Friday night, Adelaide United plays Sydney FC down at Cooper Stadium with a 7:45 kickoff. Saturday, we have Melbourne Victory versus Western United, but we don't because that's already been postponed. Then Western Sydney Wanderers are playing Western United, so that's been reorganised at 5:05. And Western Sydney Wanderers were supposed to play Central Coast, but that's been postponed. So it's all over the shop.
Then Sunday, where you are half the time.
Sunday, Wellington Phoenix playing Macarthur FC at Campbelltown Stadium. And Melbourne City play Perth Glory. Not listed as postponed at Amy Park. So that's what's happening next week. Let's have a look and see what's happening in the Women's League next weekend. Hopefully I'll be able to get all that information for you. What do we want? February, don't we? So February the 2nd, we have Sydney FC versus Brisbane Roar at Leichhardt Oval. That kicks off at 7:35. Friday, Adelaide United versus Newcastle Jets at Cooper Stadium at 5:05. Wellington Phoenix, they play Melbourne Victory at Wynn Stadium at 6:35. Good luck to the Wellington girls. Saturday, Canberra United versus Perth Glory at Viking Park at 5:05. And Sunday, Melbourne City versus Western Sydney Wanderers at Amy Park at 4:05. So that's all that's coming up this week, Mike. Lots of matches.
Yeah, lots of good games there too.
Lots of good games. Of course, it will be on Paramount Plus or Channel 10 or 10 Bold or one of those things. So you'll find a match to watch somewhere on one of those services.
For sure.
Yeah. The FFA Cup comes to a close this week, Mike. Melbourne Victory plays Central Coast Mariners. That's on Saturday night, 8:00 kickoff. And I think that might be live on Channel 10.
Oh, fantastic. I hope so.
Yeah, so that'd be good. And I imagine Melbourne Victory will have a good support base out there for that one.
Yeah, I think they're going as slight favourites as well.
Yeah, I think so. They had a good win against Wellington on the weekend. They beat them 4-1. That was on Saturday. Mm. That was down at down in Geelong. It was 2,034 at that one. Wellington looked good in patches, particularly the first half. Gary Hooper, he got them, gave them the lead after 39 minutes. Then in the second half, it's pretty much all Melbourne Victory with Josh Brianti, former Sydney player, in the 65th minute. Nicholas Di Agostino in the 80th. Ben Falomi in the 85th. And Nicholas Di Agostino again in the 91st minute. So three late goals pretty much killed that game. It looked like it was heading for extra time until then.
Yeah, once Melbourne Victory sort of got into the gear, it was just one-way traffic.
Yeah. And the other semi-final, which was a couple of weeks ago now, Central Coast Mariners defeated Sydney FC 1-0. Urina, he scored in the 82nd minute there, so it was another late goal there. That was out at Netstrata Jubilee Stadium. And there was 1,135 in attendance at that game. Couldn't go to that one because I had this silly COVID. Had to stay home.
Yes.
That was annoying.
It gets all of us in the end.
Oh, yeah, it's out there. Just everybody take care and...
Do the right thing.
That's right. Oh, I think that's about it. I think that about covers it, doesn't it, Mike? Have you got anything more to say?
Yeah.
What's happening up in Brisbane at the moment? Anything to talk about up there?
Oh, I know that my team, Brisbane Olympic, they are currently undergoing pre-season games.
Right.
So they're doing well. Unfortunately, I can't get any information out of the club as to who they're playing. That remains top secret.
Didn't you tell them you're doing this podcast?
I have, and I'm going to ask them again. I remember last season, I asked the club president, could he list the games so fans can go and see pre-season games?
Okay.
And he was quite adamant that should remain secret because they didn't want to give anything away.
Oh, okay.
I thought, it's the NPL important, but it's only the NPL.
Well, we're talking about Olympic Mike. They lost. They went down in the grand final again last year to Brisbane, Queensland Lions. And that was about the fourth time, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. So they've got a bit of a...
Yeah, we're certainly not the bride, certainly the bridesmaids. We just can't seem to crack it on that particular day. I mean, that particular season last year, we played Queensland Lions at their home. And I think we beat them, I think it was 3-0 or 3-1.
Right.
And we just took the sword. And we thought, there's no way we could lose this game. But whether it's stage fright, whether it's pressure, I mean,
don't get me wrong, Queensland Lions are a very good side, very professional, very well laid out, very well organised, got some very good players, and we just seem to freeze.
Yeah, but I'm sure they'll be up there or thereabouts again this season because they're a very good squad, very big club. And we'll delve
they are a very good team. And we'll we lost a couple of players this season, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they'll do well again. I could see finishing at least top three again.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll look forward to your keeping us in touch with what's happening with Olympic throughout the season. The New South Wales Premier League kicks off on the 4th of March, so that's not that too far away. It's only a month away.
It is only a month away.
And the first game will be between Mount Druitt Town Rangers and RPL Leichhardt at Poppendetta Field. And that will kick off at 7 o'clock. On the Saturday, Marconi Stallions, they're at home to our old senior Mr. Go and love to watch Mike Sutherland Sharks.
And still hold close to my heart.
Oh, very much so. Under-20s kick off at 4, with the first grade kicking off at 6 o'clock in that one. That's at Marconi Stadium. Sydney Olympic, they play Manly United at Belmore Sports Ground, with the under-20s kicking off there at 4:30 and the first grade team kicking off at 6:45. And Mount Druitt Town under-20s, they play at Poppendetta on the Saturday with a 5 o'clock kickoff there. And on Sunday, Blacktown City play Rockdale Illenden at the Blacktown City Sports Centre, which used to be called Gabby Stadium, I think, back in our day, Mike.
That is so true. It was too.
1 o'clock there for the under-20s and 3 o'clock for first grade. Sydney United, 58. They're at home at the Sydney United Sports Centre. They play Wollongong Wolves. 2:30 kickoff there for first grade. And the under-20s are playing after, apparently, at 4:45. So that's a funny thing.
Oh.
And finally, Sydney FC. They're at Rockdale Illenden Sports Centre. They play the Northbridge Bulls. The under-20s kicking off at 4:30 and the first grade squad at 6:30. So put those in your diaries. We'll remind you more about those matches. And Mike will look after the Brisbane end as we get closer to kick off for those
competitions. Yeah, bring you all in.
Yours kicks off at the end of this month, doesn't it?
Yes, our first game is on Friday, the 25th of February.
Right.
Our competition starts.
Fantastic. All to look forward to.
So I'm looking forward to that. Very much so.
All right. I think that'll do us for this week, Mike. Thanks for joining me.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for everybody for listening. I think we're getting up towards like 100 listeners now for all the episodes we've done. Oh, this is episode 10, by the way. We've made it double figures.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
The third week that you've been able to share the show with me, so that's been great.
Thoroughly enjoying it.
So have a great weekend. Enjoy your football, Mike, and everybody out there.
Interesting.
And we will be back next Monday night. Well, we'll record it next Monday night, but when you listen to it, it's up to yourselves. Until then, enjoy your football and stay safe. Bye for now.
Catch ya.